Today I want to talk about something that none of us really like to talk about. I want to talk about the moments in our life where the heat gets turned up. I'm talking about when the pressure comes, the pain, the discomfort, loss, betrayal, seasons that you didn't plan for. Prayers that didn't get answered the way you thought they would. That's what I want us to lean into today, because the reality is you don't get to choose whether you'll face fire, but you do get to choose who you become in it. And I want us to lean into this today in the book of Daniel chapter 3. Turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. I know y'all just sat down, but one day you're going to get it figured out that we're going to read the scripture, unless you just need your leg workout today. Daniel chapter 3 is a powerful passage where we have three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar has ordered a decree after building a 90-foot golden statue of himself that they are to worship this statue. So I'm giving you some context because we're going to jump right in the middle of what's happening. And they have been given some instructions, and there were some people that didn't like these Hebrew boys because they were trying to change them and alter their original beliefs. They were altering their identity from who God says they were to who they said they were. And we get into the part of the passage where the king is saying, you've got to bow or I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And so I want us to read starting in verse 8 today. We're going to read all the way through to verse 18, and then we're going to unpack this. It says this. It says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, I don't even know all these words, harp, the bagpipe, and every other kind of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are a certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the pipe and all the musical instruments and every kind of music, fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Don't you love how much of a boss they were? Do you see how sometimes the enemy will come to try to threaten you with idol worship? And you got to be willing to have a boss attitude to say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, oh, enemy, we don't even have time to answer you in this matter. Some of us, we'd be answering the devil too much, and we just need to shut our mouth and keep moving. Oh, that ain't even my sermon today, but that's for somebody. We do not even need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. But if not, somebody say, but if not. That's faith. I said, that's faith. So I want to lean into this today, and I really believe that God wants to speak to us, and I want to give you my title, but I want you to ask your neighbor my title today. So look them in the eye real quick, get to know their eye color. Go ahead and look at them, your first choice. And I want you to ask them this question. Has your pain become your perfume? Come on, go ahead now, look at your second best choice, your second neighbor. I want you to ask them that question. But now that you kind of know what it is, you can ask them with a little bit of audacity. Has your pain become your perfume? Are y'all ready for this today? We're going to lean in. Father, we thank you for your presence. We ask so that you would speak. Thank you for your word. Let it transform us from the inside out. God, do what only you can do today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone shout a big amen. 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 Give someone a hug before you take a seat. Have you ever been around a bonfire or a campfire, and hours later, after you've already left, you realize that you still smell like smoke? Some of you don't realize it, but we know when you smoke weed. I just want to throw that in there. You might be in church today. I'm not making or calling any names. Sorry, I had to say it. We were just in Seattle this week at a conference for Team Church, and I went through the hotel, and I was like, someone spending some time, and I could smell a skunk. That's all I thought I smelled. I've never smoked weed, but I've been around people that have, and God bless you. But have you ever had that happen? You left a campfire, and you go inside, or you go to put on a shirt the next day, and you start to smell it, and you're like, it just smells like smoke. Like, you're not anywhere near the fire anymore. The flames are gone. It's already been burned out. You left the place where it happened. You could be even in another city, but somehow that smell followed you home. It's in your clothes. It's in your hair. It's on your skin. Like it is just permeating off of you. Because here's the deal about smoke. Smoke lingers longer than the fire. It stays with you long after the fire has gone out. And I wonder if the same thing can happen with pain. The event is over, but you're still carrying the evidence. The relationship ended years ago, but you still smell like rejection. The betrayal happened a long time ago, but somehow you still have the smell of bitterness on you. You walk through maybe some disappointment. Maybe it happened a long time ago. Maybe it's happened recently. But now everything smells like distrust to you. You have this smell. You survived what happened. But what happened has somehow become a part of who you are. And now everywhere you go, you have that smell with you. And here's what I wonder today. I wonder, are the remnants of your pain becoming the reputation that you've built? Are the remnants of the things that have happened to you, the betrayals, the disappointments, is that becoming the reputation that you have? When people think about you, do they think about your faith or do they think about your frustration? Do they think about your worship or do they think about your wounds that you always talk about? Do they think about your purpose, the thing that God has put on your life, or do all they ever really hear or remember about you is the pain that you always discuss? Because you see, there is a difference between going through something and becoming what you went through. And we sometimes don't know the difference between the two because we continually carry the past with us as if it helps us to have a better rap sheet. You see, you can survive the fire but still smell like smoke. You can make it through hell, but be coming on the other side, something still be permeating off you of the things that you went through. And maybe the question today is not, did you make it through? That's a great question. And some of y'all are like, man, I just barely made it through this. And that's great. But maybe really the question is, what did you bring out with you? What are you still carrying after you've left the fire? What is still permeating off of you after going through what you experienced? You see, Daniel chapter 3 introduces us to these three young men who knew something about fire. We've been talking about fire these last few weeks, and this is a fire that's a little bit different fire. But before we get to the furnace, we've got to truly understand something. Daniel chapter 3 isn't primarily a story about the fire. It's not even truly about the fiery furnace. It's really about worship. Nebuchadnezzar builds this massive golden statue, 90 feet tall. He gathers together all the important people of Babylon and all the leaders, all the officials, all the governors, all the judges, everybody who was anybody. He gathered them around, and the command was very simple. You don't have to believe in it. You don't have to love it. You don't even have to understand it. But when you hear the music go, you've got to bow. When you hear the music start to play, you've got to fall on your face. And if you don't bow, you're going to burn. If you don't lay it down, if you don't bow to this statue and worship this God, then you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And isn't it interesting that before the enemy threatened them with the furnace, he tempted them with an idol? When you read the Bible, you've got to see sometimes God likes to throw these little hidden messages in there. He tempted them with the idol before the fiery furnace was ever in the process. Because the real battle wasn't over fire. The real battle was who is on the throne of your life. That's where the battle is for us. The fire that these Hebrew boys went through wasn't to see about how strong they were. It wasn't to test their strength. No, it was actually to test their surrender. Are they surrendered to Jesus alone, and is Jesus the one on the throne? That's what's in question. So let me ask you a very vulnerable question today, one that I think you need to really think about and ponder, and that is this. Who or what has your worship? Who or what has your allegiance? Who or what is sitting on the throne of your life? I think it's an honest question. I think it's a question in a world that we live in today with all the different things that try to grab for your attention. It is a question that we've got to answer. Because what you bow to before the fire is what you're going to reach for when you're in it. Did you get that today? What you worship before you walk through a trial is the very thing that you're going to try to reach for when you're walking when the heat gets turned up. It's the thing that you're going to be pulling for. And if you're not pulling towards the right thing, those things are not going to sustain you. This matters because everybody has something they reach for when life heats up. Some reach for control. Some reach for money. Some reach for relationships or a bottle. Some reach for approval. Some reach for success. And none of these necessarily look like a 90-foot golden statue, but here's the deal. Anything that you expect to do what only God can do has become an idol in your life. Let me tell you today, good things make terrible gods. God gave us a lot of great things on this world and great things on this planet, but you have to be careful that you don't make that your God and put that on your throne. And here's the problem with idols. They make promises in peace, but they don't keep when they're under pressure. Have you ever had anybody make a promise to you, but when the pressure mounted up, they left? Don't elbow nobody. Some of y'all are already hitting record on your phone because you're going, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to send you this message today. No, that's the enemy. Money says, I'll keep you safe. Until the diagnosis that you get, money can't fix. Control will say, I'll keep everything together. I'll have it all under control. It's all going to be good until something happens that you can't control. People will say, I'll never leave you. I'm with you to the end. Until they leave you. Success will tell you, I'll make you significant. I'll make you have value. I'll make you worth something until you achieve it. And guess what? You still feel empty. That's why who sits on your throne matters. Because what you serve will determine what you seek in your life. It will determine the direction that you're going to lead into. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, he gives them another opportunity, calls them down. He says, I'm going to give you one more chance. You're either going to bow when the music starts, or I'm going to throw you in the fire. You bow or you burn. And I love their response. They say, our God we serve is able to deliver us. In other words, they're saying, I know that he can. I know he can. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God who can do all things. He is a God that if he promises something, he will see it through. He is the God of miracles. He is the God of strength. He is the God in whom provides. I know that God can save us. But then verse 18 comes along and it says, but even if he does not, even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Now that's faith. That's a faith that surpasses any understanding that you may have. God can, but even if he doesn't, Nebuchadnezzar, he is still God. And some of us need to have that faith in our life. A faith that can still say that what we've gone through is not going to determine what we believe. What we've begun to see in our world today is that we have created a version of faith that tells us, or we tell our faith, well, God, if you heal me, then I'll worship. God, if you'll fix this in my life, if you'll do this, then I'll worship. God, if you'll restore my marriage, if you will restore this thing, then I'll worship. God, if you'll just answer my prayer, if you just get me out of this, then I'll worship. But you see, the Hebrew boys are teaching us something very interesting, that their faith wasn't dependent on their deliverance. Their devotion was already decided before anything was going to happen. Before they walked into the furnace, they said, we know he can, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve you. We're still going to serve our God. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of faith that I want. That's the kind of audacious faith that I want to live with and walk with, that no matter the circumstance, I'm still going to worship. That God, I know you can, but even if you don't, I will still worship. Even if you don't, I will still trust you. Even if you don't, I will still believe you. Even if you don't, I still won't bow to the idols that are coming to try to distract me. And here's what I've learned in my life. Faith isn't trusting God for the outcome that you want. Faith is trusting God when you don't know the outcome. This is where when your prayers that you pray that don't get answered, why your faith gets shaken. Because you're like, God, I thought you'd give me the desires of our heart, but some of us have desires that are not godly. So we really got to understand the context, because I can have a desire to have a Ferrari, but that desire is not a need. That's probably not the desire of God's heart. The more that we get closer to Jesus, we begin to develop the desires that he wants us to have for our very own life. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, when this happens, he gets completely furious. He orders the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than the natural temperature that they put people in. 7 times hotter. And the Bible says that they bind these 3 men. And after they bound these 3 men, they throw them in. And what was so interesting as you continue to read the story is that the fire was so intense that the very soldiers that were throwing in the 3 Hebrew boys, the heat was so intense that they died from the heat. The soldiers that threw them in were burned up and scorched because they couldn't even handle it. But then Nebuchadnezzar, he looks inside the furnace. And we get to Daniel chapter 3, verse 24 and 27.
24 and 25. It says, "But the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?' And they answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt.'" Wait a minute. He threw 3 in, but now there's 4 walking around. And then this may be the greatest truth in the entire story, that God could have kept them from the furnace, but instead God met them in the furnace. God met them in the furnace. We pray the prayers, "God, get me out." And God says, "No, I'm getting in. I'm going to get in the furnace with you." We want God to get us out of every fire, but sometimes God doesn't remove the fire. He actually reveals himself in it. He shows you who he is. He shows you that he will not leave you and he will not forsake you, that what you're going through is maybe preparing you for what God has already prepared for you, but you got to keep moving through, and you got to keep trusting, and you got to keep hoping, and you got to keep worshiping Jesus no matter what the world throws at you. God could have kept them from it, but instead he got in there with him. The question isn't if you're going to go through fire. The question is who's in it with you. You know, my dad always says this joke, so I'm going to use it today. You know, they talk about how a good friend will come and bail you out of jail, but a real friend will be sitting there right with you saying, "Man, wasn't that fun?" It's a lame dad joke, but we're going to use it today. I love you, Dad. Psalm 23, verse 4 doesn't say that I will never walk through a valley. No, what does it say? It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." And then you get to the book of Isaiah, and the book of Isaiah doesn't say that you'll never encounter fire. We think that, you know, well, God is with us, so we're never going to encounter fire. That is such a false theology. Isaiah 43 says, "When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." It says when, not if. When. Somebody say when. Tell your neighbor, when, not if. Maybe you've been praying for God to keep you from something when God wants to show you that he can carry you through that thing. That he can carry you through any challenge. That he can carry you through any trial that you go through. That he will not leave you. He will walk with you. That maybe the fire that you fear may become the place that you actually find him. Think about it. Nebuchadnezzar, he put them in the fire. The Bible says, bound. I want you to notice this detail. It says that they threw 3 men in, and they bound them before they threw them in. But when he looked inside, and he starts to see them walking around, what does he say? They're unbound. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. So the fire didn't burn them, but it burned the thing that was binding them. Oh man, somebody needs to hear that today, that the fire that was meant to burn them burnt what bound them. And maybe somebody needs to hear that today, that the thing that you're going through that was supposed to burn you, maybe the thing that was binding you in that fire, God is saying, "I'm going to burn that thing off of you, and those shackles are going to fall. The ropes are going to fall. You were once bound, but now you're going to be unbound, because the very fire that was trying to destroy you is now going to deliver you into the very place that God has already called you to be." That what the enemy meant to destroy you with, God's going to use to deliver it you with. See, some of us, we read the Bible, we miss these details. But you got to look. You got to read your Bible. Somebody say the Bible, you know, somebody always tells me, "Well, the Bible's boring." No, you just boring. Stop skimming and start reading. What I'm learning in this passage is that the very bondage, the place that looked like bondage, actually became the place of freedom for them. The place that they thought was going to entrap them, the thing that they thought was going to burn them and consume them. But because, here's the deal, because they had faith to believe that, God, I know you can, but even if you don't, that's where it all hinges on. You see, the furnace did not expose God's absence. It revealed God's presence in the middle of the trial. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar, he calls them out. He's like, hold on, get these guys out of here. And Daniel gives us one of the strangest details in the entire story. Daniel 3:27 says, the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched. Are you looking at the detail that God is showing? There was nothing that happened to them. And then he gives us this strangest detail that, and there was no smell of fire on them. What? No smell? How do you walk through that and not smell like where you've been? How do you go through that kind of fiery furnace, heated up 7 times the intensity, and still not smell like what you've been through? How do you walk through fire and not carry smoke out on the other side? Because here's the deal. I know people who haven't been in the fire for years, but they still smell like it. Every conversation, smoke. Every relationship, smoke. Every disagreement, smoke. Every decision, smoke. They aren't even near the furnace anymore. But the furnace is still trying to burn in them. The smell of smoke is still on them. And I wonder this today. Have you left your fire, but your smoke hasn't left you? Have you left the furnace, but are you still carrying something out with you? You see, sometimes when we go into the furnace, if we ain't got our true hope in God, we'll still be bound when we come out. Amen. And if we're not careful, what you've been through will become the perspective that you look through. Well, that's just my experience. Great, but if it ain't truth, it doesn't matter what you felt. Well, I feel this. Feelings. We won't talk about feelings. Feelings float like the wind. We got people that go live their life off of their feelings. And that's why I look at them like, you're so emotional. Man, you get so offended just because I said something that was truth, and now you're going to be like, I can't believe you would say that. And we expect people to, hold on, I better not get into all this. I'm gonna get myself in trouble. See, I believe that there is truth and there is grace, but oftentimes when we go to share truth with people that live by their feelings, they don't see the grace that's being extended. All they hear is something that they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. Because I feel this way. Doesn't matter what you feel like. I felt a lot of ways, but I don't act on my feelings. I act on truth. And we have too many people in this world that act on their feelings. Well, I just felt like, and some people, they'll throw the God card out. This is what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. Throwing the God card out, you know, we think that it's just alone saying, you know, oh my God, or something like that, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. And although that may be true, it's using the Lord's name when it's not really supposed to be used. It's saying, well, God told me, you better be sure. You know how people come tell me, well, we're leaving the church. God told me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what do you want me to do now? God told you. What am I supposed to say to you? We want to know your thoughts, Pastor. Well, if God told you, I don't have any thoughts. So you better be sure. And I'll often ask you, if you come and tell me, I'll say, well, what did God say? How did he say it? Who did you talk to about this? Or is it just between you and your God? Oh, we're getting real now. Because this is the truth. We get offended in different environments, and so we just leave, and we never deal with the accountability. We just see offense when it's supposed to be accountability. Uh-oh. They just offended me. Get in line. Put a helmet on. Like, what do you need to do? Toughen up. Look at your neighbor and say, suck it up. We need to say that more. That came in the 90s for us. You know why I was sucking up? Because they beat our tail and we were going, and like, suck it up. Keep crying out. Give me something else to cry about. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? We didn't get spankings. We got whoopings. There is a difference between getting whooped by a Hot Wheel track, by a frying pan, by a piece of wood that your dad found in the shop. Extension cord. Oh, water hose. A water hose. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I got plastic poisoning just from water hose spankings. Blessed be. Some of us don't know what it means to be whooped. And we need some more whoopings in our world today. We got some of these spoiled brat children that don't know how to respect authority. And maybe if a good old paddle came their way, that might be like, oh, you know, there's some pain and consequence that comes when I disobey. There's some pain and consequence. Because here's the thing. They'll treat God the same way and they don't get. And now we wonder why we have disobedient Christians. I'm not saying a whooping solves everything. But I'm saying if there's no consequence, there is no growth. If there's no repercussions, there will be no reward in the end for you. I don't know who that's for today, but that's some good preaching. All right, now let me get off my soapbox. Let me keep moving. They did not have the smell of smoke on them. And here's the thing about smoke. Smoke doesn't just affect your smell. Smoke also affects your sight. It will distort your vision and what you're trying to see. And that's what unresolved pain will do. Someone betrays you, so now everybody is suspicious. Somebody abandoned you, so now anytime you have distance, it feels like rejection. Somebody hurts you, and now any correction you get always feels like an attack. Somebody or something failed you, and now every opportunity just feels dangerous, and you don't want to take any risks anymore. Are you seeing the trend? You aren't seeing clearly today because you're still looking through yesterday's smoke. Your lens is fogged up, and let me tell you, pain makes a terrible pair of glasses. A terrible pair. Have you ever put on, you know, they used to do this in junior high or high school. They made you put on the drunk goggles. Anybody ever done that before? They put on goggles that make it look like when you're wasted beyond measure. Some of you are like, I don't need goggles. I've been there. We won't confess our sins in that today. Somebody say, thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers my sin. Amen. All right. But if you've ever put on some of those distorted glasses and you try to walk, you're like, oh, hello. What? I'm walking a straight line. No, you're not. But our pain will do the same thing. And we think we're walking in one direction, but what happens is our pain starts to distort. We're supposed to be going that way, and all of a sudden, we're going over here. And pain has been a distraction. You can't control every fire that you walk through, but you can refuse to let the smoke become your sight. If you've ever sat in a campfire and the wind starts to shift and the smoke starts getting in your eyes, do you just stay there? Mm-mm. I pick my chair up and I go over here and sit back down. Why? Because I can't see nothing. I can't breathe. I don't want all that smoke on me because I know the more that happens, the stinkier I'm going to get when I walk away. It's gonna cloud my vision. And here's what gets me about this whole story. Daniel doesn't say that they forgot the fire. They remembered it. They could tell the story, but they didn't smell like their story. So here's what that tells us. Healing doesn't mean pretending that it never happened. Freedom doesn't mean forgetting the story. I know that happened to you, and it doesn't mean you will ever forget it. But the truth is, if you don't get out of that, you'll never move forward. You know the whole statement, you know, forgive and forget. The truth is, we don't forget. Thankfully, God forgets. When we sin against God and we repent and we turn from our ways, the Bible says he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, he has forgotten your sin. How many are thankful that Jesus does that for us, that he has a grace that is sufficient? But for us as humans on this earth, we don't have the capacity to just turn that off. But here's the deal, because if I've ever been bitten by putting my hand in a cage, I'm just not going to put my hand in the cage no more. I won't forget it. Now, am I going to treat everything that's in that cage in another species the same way? No. But I'm gonna be cautious. I'm gonna be careful. I'm gonna walk and trust God and say, you know what? Because sometimes I gotta put my hand back in the cage. If you've ever been bucked off a horse, what do they tell you? Get back on. Immediately. Because if you get bucked off a horse and you never get back on, you get a block. And now you're afraid, and now you're never going to get back on. And some of you, if you've walked through something, and somebody betrayed you, or something failed you, or something disappointed you, and now you have this tendency of a hesitation, and you won't step into your God-given calling because you're afraid somebody else might betray you again. I was abandoned when I was a child, so somebody else is going to abandon me. I didn't have my dad in my life, so now any male figure I have an authority issue with. Do you see the trend that the enemy's trying to get to fog your vision? To say that your pain is going to be your lens you're going to look through. That's what the devil wants. But let me tell you, your history doesn't have to become your identity. Your history, how many are thankful that your history does not have to become your identity? I know what has happened to you is hard. I know what they've said about you is difficult, but that's not who you are. Know this, the fire can be your testimony without becoming your identity. It can be your testimony. The pain that you've experienced can explain some things about you without defining everything about you. Are you hearing this today? That the wound that you may still have can be wisdom without becoming your whole world. Some of us, we put our whole world on social media. No wonder it can't heal. Because you get a comment from 3 years ago that pops up again. Uh-oh. Because you put that post out there and somebody just saw it and now they comment and now the emotions come back up. How many of you have ever had that happen? My mom used to do that. She'd go and comment on a photo and, man, you look so younger. Mom, that was 5 years ago. But she just now saw it. Bless them, Lord Jesus. I want you to write this down. Your pain can be part of your story without becoming the author of your story. This is where I think about the story of my mom. Because for 28 years, I watched her walk through cancer. Some of you are new to our church, you don't even know. She walked through 28 years of stage 4 metastatic breast cancer that ended up going into other parts of her body. And let me tell you, there was some real pain, there was some real treatment, there was real disappointment, questions, real fire. There was even real miracles that we saw over 28 years. But let me tell you, when I think about her, cancer isn't the fragrance I remember. Faith is. Worship is. A fighter is. Jesus is. And she went through the fire, but the fire doesn't tell you who she was. And that's what I want for my life. That when people encounter me, I don't want them to encounter me and smell everything that I've been through. I want them to experience the perfume of Jesus on my life. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. Not the fragrance of our frustration, not the fragrance of our failure, not the fragrance of my wounds, the fragrance of Christ. That's what I want when people encounter me, for them to see, man, you've been through some stuff, but man, you still trust in God. Man, you still can walk with a peace. Man, there's still joy in your life, even though you face some hardship. You see, because the enemy wants your pain to become your identity, and Jesus wants his presence to become your perfume. That way, every time you walk into a dark room, you bring light with you. You bring a fragrance with you, a fragrance of grace, a fragrance of strength, a fragrance of joy, a fragrance of deliverance. People should see your life and shackles fall off of them. That's the kind of faith I want. So maybe the question isn't, can you handle the fire? Maybe the real question is, because maybe the real question is not, can you handle it? But who's on the throne before you walk in it? Because we live in a world that's like, well, can you handle the pressure? Well, there are pressures that I can handle and there are pressures that I can't handle. But when God is on the right throne, I can handle it. But when I've got something else on that throne, I can't handle it. I can't do it. And here's what I know today. Some of you are currently in the furnace right now. You've been thrown in and it feels 10 times hotter than what it's supposed to be. And you're praying the prayer and you're asking the question, God, where are you? Where are you? And I just want to encourage you and tell you today, look again, because there's another one in the fire with you. And maybe you don't feel him. Maybe you can't even hardly see him. But you got to say, but even if not, God, I know you can, and I know you are with me, but even if not, I will still not, you will deliver me somehow, because you're a man of your word. And there are some of you right now who have come out of the furnace, but you're still carrying some smoke. And I believe that God wants to heal you of that residue today. That he wants to make that smell, he wants to give you a holy cleansing. Holy cleansing that will wash over you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That whatever fire you've been through, whatever trial you've been in, whatever furnace has tried to burn you up, whatever smell you may be carrying on you, that he will pour his perfume of his presence, and it will begin to just take over and cleanse you. That's my prayer. You can remember it without reeking of it. I can remember what I went through without carrying it everywhere I go. You know, scars, they show us, they tell us a story. I've got scars on my body. I've got a scar on the back of my head where a ski hit my head. You remember that? Going through some trails, acting like a fool. Following my brother. Just had to throw that out there. And I got scars. How many got scars? Something's happened, you got scars. Scars tell us a story. Tells everyone that I went through something. But what does your fragrance say? What does your fragrance say? That before they even see you, they smell you. That's what the unbeliever, before they even see you, they're already trying to sniff you out. Are you really who you say you are? Do you really believe all that you say you believe? I see you go to church. I watched you check in, but on Facebook, but when you come to work, I don't really smell the fragrance of the God that you serve. Can they smell the fragrance on your life? There's somebody on our team that worked at a different place before, and they said every time they would enter a room, they would start to joking before, but when he would enter the room, they was, oh, we can't talk about that stuff because so-and-so's here. That's a good reputation to have. because they were saying some derogatory things. They were saying some inappropriate things. But there was a fragrance that that person carried with them. And every time they stepped into a room, the room shifted. No longer did the enemy have power or control in the room. The presence of God, the fragrance, his perfume began to permeate off. And they say, you know what? And it began to change the atmosphere. Well, we can't talk about those things because so-and-so's here. I want people to say that about me. That when I walk into a place, you know, we're not going to go there. We can't go there. We got to shut that down because so-and-so's here. That's the kind of fragrance I want to carry. So today, the question that I have is, what are you bowing to? What's the thing you're bowing to in your life right now? What's on the throne of your life? This is the questions that we have to ask. And it's not just a question you ask yearly. It's a question you've got to ask daily. What are you reaching for when you're in the fire? Those should be indicators of who's on the throne. And if Jesus is on the throne before the fire, he'll meet you in the middle of the fire. And when you come out, you're not going to smell like smoke. You're going to have the perfume of his presence. And I believe that some of you here today, you're carrying something. And you're coming to the realization right now that I've got the smell of smoke on me. And I believe God wants to heal you from that today. If that's you, nobody looking around for just a moment, and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm carrying my past. I'm carrying my hurts and my burdens. I'm carrying the smell of smoke. And I don't want to carry that anymore. I don't want that to define me. I don't want that to be the reputation that I'm building. God, I want it to be your presence. I want it to be the thing that you are pouring onto me. If that's you in this room, I just want you to lift your hands. I want to know who I'm praying with today. You're carrying some smoke and you're saying, God, I want you to heal me and cleanse me. A holy cleansing today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, you see every hand that is raised. You know them by name. You know every hair on their head. You formed them in their mother's womb. You knit them together so beautifully and wonderfully made. And God, I know that they have been through some things. They've walked through some trials. They've walked through the fiery furnace. Maybe they feel like they're even in it right now. But God, in their life, there is the smell of smoke still on them. And God, with their hearts lifted, with their hands raised, God, they are doing it as an act of faith to say, God, if you can cleanse me, I know you can. I know you're able. God, I pray that you would have a holy cleansing on your people today. That the smell of smoke, the smell of disappointment, the smell of rejection, the smell of abandonment would fall off of them right now in the name of Jesus. The smell of distrust. The smell of betrayal. The smell of addiction. The smell of loneliness. The smell of heartache. The smell of divorce, that God, you would give a holy cleansing to them today. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Mend what is broken. God, we thank you that you're the ultimate restorer, that you're the redeemer. And God, you have the power to restore anything, that there is nothing too far gone that you cannot restore. God, remove any residue on their life that isn't your presence. And may today, as they walk out of here, Lord, may they leave that smell of smoke in this room so they can cast it onto you today. Let them walk out of here in a holy cleansing, looking to where their help comes from, changing their perspective, taking off the foggy goggles of life and putting on the lens of truth today. Of your presence. In Jesus' name. With every eye still closed, every head still bowed. Maybe some of you are here today and you're hearing me talk about a God who has the power to deliver, has the power to set free. That there was a fourth man in the fire. Who is that? Well, we believe that it was Jesus walking with them. That the presence of God was already dwelling. And the thing is, you can't reach for Jesus if he's not on the throne of your life. Maybe you've never put Jesus on the throne of your life. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to him and accepted him as your Lord and your Savior. You see, friend, Jesus came to this earth a little over 2,000 years ago, and he roamed this earth, and yes, he performed miracles, and yes, he did wonders, and yes, he did mysteries. But the greatest thing that he did for all of us is he went to a cross. He shed his blood. A sacrifice had to be made. And he became our replacement. We deserve death. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve penalty. We deserve the pain. We deserve the debt. Jesus came and paid it all. And he did it with three nails. He did it with a cross. He did it with the shedding of his blood. And all he says that he wants you to do is to believe in him. And that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And if that's you in this room, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I've never accepted him. I've never made him Lord. Or maybe you have at one point, but you know that he's not on the throne now. There's something else. Maybe you're coming back today. Maybe this is your first time back in a while, and you're like, I need to get my life back on track. I've walked away. I've allowed the fogginess of my pain to distract me, and today I need to come back. I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. Does it mean you need to be perfect to do it? Does it mean you have it all together? No, you come to Jesus just as you are, and he will do his part of cleaning you up. He will do his part of what the Bible says is sanctification. It is the outer workings of an inward decision. He will cleanse you. So if that's you today, every eye closed, every head bowed, and say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. I want you to lift your hand on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand high. Lift your hand high. Thank you, Jesus. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. I see you. God, I want you on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. I want us all to pray this prayer out loud. It's a prayer of faith. We're going to pray it in support of those that raise their hand, whether in this room or on the other side of the screen. Let's say it all together. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my life. I place you on the throne of everything. God, I ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. And today I choose to follow him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate with every hand that was raised, every person that rededicated their life? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what we normally do as we close our gathering. I want us to stand to our feet all across the room. We're going to do three things. It's our moment of response. If you're new to our church, this is our culture. This is who we are. We're not done just yet. Just a few minutes to spend in the presence of God. We're going to do three things. We're going to sing. Somebody say sing. We're going to sing what's true about Jesus. We're going to bring. Somebody say bring. This is our opportunity to return our tithe and our offering, to bring it back. And when we do that, when we bring our tithe and we bring our offering back to Jesus, what we are saying is, God, I choose to not be discipled by the world. I choose to be discipled by your word. That you gave me your best in Jesus, and I'm going to give my best back to you. That's what we say when we give. And then we're going to do the third thing, and that is we're going to pray. Somebody say pray. Because none of us can walk this life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're going to do right now, the worship team's going to sing a beautiful song. We're going to just spend some time to allow the word to marinate in our life, allow the presence of God to touch us. And this altar is open. If you want to come down here and worship, we're just going to spend the next few moments and give it to Jesus today. So come on, let's sing, let's bring, let's pray, let's respond.
worthy, only one, only one. Jesus the only, give all the glory to the one true living God. Jesus the only one who is worthy, only one, only one. Jesus the only, give all the glory to the one true living God.
Only one, only one. Come on, there is one name and one name alone worthy of our worship, and that is the name of Jesus. And at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hey, how about you help me celebrate the 17 people that just went, that just surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Congratulations to all who made that decision. And if you didn't receive your next steps, make sure to stop by the info hub on your way out today. We want to make sure that you made that decision. We want to make sure you have your next steps, and so you can stop by on your way out. Don't forget our back to school drive is happening in the North Lobby. Please, if you or someone in your family or a neighbor could use some school supplies, stop by and grab some of that stuff for them. And then also, our prayer team is going to be down here at the front assembled, ready to pray with you. If you're believing God for something, don't hold it in by yourself. We want to activate our faith with yours and believe with you and pray over you this morning. Are you glad you came to church today? Skybreak Church, we love you. Now go and lead people to be fully devoted followers.